Parenting is a full-time job, and providing effective support for today's teens can be challenging. The Parent Engage 360 podcast aims to provide connections and information from experts in the fields of chemical health, mental health, internet safety, and more. It's a comprehensive view on parenting, provided in a personal, convenient format. Tune in to today's episode of the Parent Engage 360 podcast series.
Welcome to another episode of the Parent Engage 360 podcast. I'm your host, Liz Burgard. Joining us today is our amazing guest, Beth Lovry, a family peer educator from the National Alliance on Mental Illness, Minnesota, or NAMI, as some of you may be familiar with. Beth brings a wealth of knowledge and experience in supporting families navigating the complexities of advocating for their children's well-being. As parents, we often find ourselves in situations where we need to advocate for our children, whether it be in our educational system or other aspects of our life. I'm really excited to chat with Beth today and just hear all of the wonderful things that she has to share with our audience. Thank you so much for being here, Beth.
Thank you, Liz, for having me. It's great to see you.
Great to see you as well. They don't know that we can see each other, but now they do. Yep. So what we did a couple months back in a couple of podcasts, Beth, is we just started with jumping in and asking our guests, what is one thing in elementary school that you wish you could put into your life today?
After working at Evergreen for so many years, for 3 years, I'm going to say Nacho Day. I would love to have lunch and go sit with the kids every day, and it has to be nachos.
That was your favorite lunch meal that they served at Evergreen Elementary?
Oh, yes. It was amazing. Every Nacho Day, the kids would know that Miss Beth is coming to have lunch with them in the lunchroom, because that was when I would that's the meal I'd like there.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Other people said like recess or nap time. So I appreciate that you had a specific food item that you really enjoyed in our school lunches.
Well, and I'm also the daughter of a child nutritionist. You know, my mom was at Monroe Elementary for 15 years as the head cook.
I don't think I knew that. I learned something new about you today, Beth.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Isn't it?
Yeah. So diving into our podcast, thanks for sharing your favorite thing or favorite, if you could incorporate anything from elementary school, that'd be Nacho Day. I think I could get on that board and definitely do that with you. Can you share with our listeners a little bit about your connection with Anoka Hennepin? I know you just talked a little bit about it. And then also what you do as a family peer educator with NAMI Minnesota.
Yeah, most definitely. My career in the Anoka Hennepin School District started back in September of 1985, when I was a kindergartner at Monroe Elementary. So I grew up through going to Monroe. So there's a couple teachers still there.
Nice.
Yep. And then my kids, about 28 years later, got the opportunity to go back, and they got to go through Monroe Elementary. So started way back in the day. We are Anoka Hennepin family. Then around 2019, I started applying for positions in Anoka Hennepin School District, and I became the volunteer coordinator at Evergreen Elementary, and I was there for 3 years. Also, at the end of that, I was also substitute teaching and para-subbing throughout that last year or so.
So you've had a lot of experience in Anoka Hennepin dating back to the 80s.
Yep. Oh, and it was fun because the day I brought he was then kindergartner, my oldest, into Monroe, the smell of the school. You can just smell the school. And I was like, I'm home. I'm here.
Did it also feel like the hallways were a lot smaller than you realized they were when you were going there?
Like, I felt like the building would go on forever. And I'm like, oh, maybe not. Maybe that is a quick jaunt down the hallway.
That's right. It's not that big. That's awesome. So now you're a family peer educator with NAMI Minnesota. Can you tell us a little bit about what that work looks like and kind of how you went from Evergreen as a volunteer coordinator and a couple sub jobs into your current role?
Kind of went into another direction. Like, I'm like, what do I want to be when I grow up, right? I was a paralegal when I went to college. I'm a volunteer coordinator, substitute teacher at school. What do I want to be when I grow up? I ultimately determined I wanted to be a mental health advocate for families, just like mine. So as an Ami family peer educator, I support families like mine that are finding themselves navigating the complex children's mental health systems. You might see me teaching a class, doing a one-on-one phone call with families, or leading a support group. I do this in my life for my two children. My eldest, who's 16, he got into the mental health systems about 2.5 years old, navigating those between, you know, medical to the educational. And so I've had 14 plus years of navigating those systems, and so which are very difficult.
I think the question that you just brought up, Beth, is something that even, it's kind of going off topic, but I think it's really important for all of us to still think about as adults. It's like, what do I want to be when I grow up? And I think what your story tells us is something really beautiful of like, there are a lot of different jobs in this world, and there's a lot of different things that we can be. And from having children or maybe experiences with our own parents, or things happening to us, you think you're going to do one thing, you think you're going to be a paralegal, and then something happens to you or you get experiences, you're like, you know what, I'd be really good at doing something different. And I think your story is a beautiful example of that, of just like knowing yourself and being like, I'm going to start here. And then your path just continued to wind, and you continued to grow as a person and go off of your experiences to get that licensure or the training from the state, and really blossom into supporting families in our state. And we're so lucky that you decided to go down that path. For our listeners who may not know, so you told us a little bit about your time in Anoka Hennepin, and then also the family peer specialist training that you went through with the state of Minnesota. And then for your work, you do some classes, you do one-on-one phone calls and consultations, and then you also do some support group. For people that may not know what NAMI is, or the National Alliance on Mental Illness for Minnesota or in Minnesota, can you give us a snapshot of what NAMI does and the great resource and it is for our state and us as people?
We are the nation's largest grassroots mental health organization dedicated to improving the lives of children and adults with mental illness and their families through education, support, and legislature advocacy. So that might look like myself or one of my teammates being asked to present Ending the Silence in high schools. We do that presentation in high schools, and we talk about our own story and, you know, how we've gotten our journey in regards to mental health. Or we might go to Day on the Hill, which is in March, where we advocate and we get to go and tell our stories to legislatures to let them know, you know, what we've been going through, what needs to change in regards to laws or those types of things. Also, we have a big walk every year where we get all the families together and we celebrate each other and the journeys that we have done with our families.
So there's a lot of amazing things that NAMI does. And it sounds like from what you're saying, it's not just the classes, it's not just phone calls. It's a lot of different things and a lot of different people to really support the helping our state to be healthy and helping the people that live here to be healthy and the best that they can be.
Oh, yes. Through short presentations, long presentations, any support that you might need. We have educational materials on our website, lots of in-person and online events so that we can access the whole Minnesota.
It's amazing work, and I know that we've partnered with your organizations to do presentations, other podcasts, and then also some of the work that we do in Anoka Hennepin. So we love our partnership, and again, thank you for being here. If I'm a parent, so I know that you mentioned your children, and you know my children as well. We've had to navigate the mental health system and through our doctor and community resources and organizations, just like I'm sure many families that are listening to this podcast have had to or maybe will have to do in the future. If I'm a parent and I'm concerned about my child or concerned about something that I think that I feel like something's off or that I need a little bit of extra support with parenting, because parenting can also be hard, what would you do or what resources would you recommend for a parent who maybe is unsure of what to do and this is their first time having to navigate their children's mental wellness or mental illness?
I would love to have a conversation with them and just see where they're at and see which way they need to go next so we can help get some of those formal and informal supports going for families. We have a helpline at NAMI. It's 1-888-NAMI-HELPS. That can be for adults or even adults with children. You can call and ask, like, hey, where do I go next? Or can I talk to somebody? Or if you just need to vent, they're there. They can offer resources of support groups or resources of how to find additional mental health services. We love talking. So we get emails all the time too. If you email namihelps@namimn.org, that email will go to a group of family peer specialists like me who have experience navigating the systems. And so there's about four or five of us that will answer that. And typically we answer those based on, you know, hey, you've kind of experienced that. Let you have that conversation with that family. And we go from there. And then we invite them to our support groups. And then give them our email and our addresses, and they're allowed to call us back anytime they have any questions.
And I think just knowing you and knowing that the resources and the amazing people that work at NAMI Minnesota, it can seem kind of scary to do a phone call or to send an email. But I think to your point, it's just a great place to start and to know that there is someone that maybe that can at least give you some support or some direction on where you need to go, or to talk you through to say, this is something that we can give you more resources on, or you're actually okay and I'm glad that you called, right? Like, you can kind of help navigate what the next steps of that conversation might go to in an easy way that isn't scary as a parent if I were to call you.
Yes, definitely. And what's nice about NAMI Minnesota is that everybody who works there either has a mental illness or supports somebody who has a mental illness. And so we have that experience. We've been in those trenches where you are, and we're there with you. Mm-hmm. I had a great conversation with a mom last Friday, and she told me everything that was going on. And I was like, there's not a lot more I can tell you, but you're doing an amazing job. Mm-hmm. Just keep going. You got this. You know, like, come back to our support group. Call me anytime. You're doing enough. You know, sometimes we need to be told we're doing enough, that it is enough, because there's a lot going on. Mm-hmm. And we can't tackle all 40 tasks at once. It's one thing at a time on our checklist.
Mm-hmm. I love that story, because I think even as adults, sometimes we just need to hear you are enough and you are doing a great job. And sometimes that's the end of it, right? Like, that's what I needed to hear and I can move on. And sometimes I do need additional support or resources for myself or my significant other or my children.
We talk a little bit too about self-care, because we as parents put ourselves on the back burner. Mm-hmm. But when we're doing that, we're really burning ourselves out, and that's not the best for our child. So making sure that we have that time alone, or we find those resources for ourselves, or spend that time with a group of people like us, that's important.
Mm-hmm. It's really important. I think it's really important to have that reminder too, because sometimes we don't give ourselves that grace and that time for us.
I agree.
So on February 29th, which it is a leap year, I guess, you will be joining us for our next Parent Engage 360 event, which it's going to be so great to see you in person. And you'll be sharing information with parents and guardians on how to advocate for their children, kind of with the conversation we're talking through, along with specific resources and support, and you'll be able to answer questions. Can you give us a glimpse of what an attendee might expect that day or that evening?
What I'm going to do is I'm bringing a bunch of materials from NAMI Minnesota. I'll have some of our booklets, our RAC cards, my contact information, my team's contact information, list of classes that might be coming up. Mm-hmm. During the presentation, I'm going to be talking about strategies to advocate for your child, and then also for your families too, because we have to look at the unit as a whole and not just the child that's maybe having the mental health challenge. We need to look at the whole family. We're going to talk a little bit about the importance of documentation, the difference between a 504 and an IEP in the educational setting. We're going to talk a little bit about the amazing Special Education Advisory Council that Anoka Hennepin has. Then we're going to talk a little bit about how to teach children how to advocate for themselves. Because eventually, you know, our goal is to get them out in the world and doing all the things for themselves. And we can do that. We can teach them to do that. And that's even more empowering.
I 100% agree. And sometimes when people see the topic of mental health or mental wellness, they kind of feel the stigma around it. Like, it might be kind of embarrassing to show up, or I don't really want, and maybe they don't have a mental illness, or maybe they're not supporting someone in their family. Maybe it's more to gather resources, or maybe they are trying to support themselves or support their child. If someone may be feeling like a stigma around attending, or What advice would you give someone if they're cautious about attending our event because of maybe some of the stigma around the words of mental health?
The ending the silence that I talked about. We go into high schools and we talk about ending the silence, ending the stigma. What I want people to know is that this generation is talking about it. Mm-hmm. And it's okay to talk about it. And you're going to be welcomed and you're going to be there and everybody's going to be talking about it. You don't have to talk about it. You can just be there and be in that presence. I get to go in and see those high schoolers. And we have these surveys that we get done. And the feedback was, Miss Beth, we are talking about it. And I was like, awesome. Because I talk about 25 years ago, we didn't talk about this. Mm-hmm. It wasn't in there. And they're like, don't worry, we're talking about it. And I always tell them, hey, this is, you guys' generation gives me so much hope in regards to, you know, what's going on, that your children, it's just going to be standard. It's going to be in everyday language. I'm not going to have to be here teaching this class. And I'm going to love that.
Mm-hmm. I think that makes a good point of, I mean, even my parents' generation of just kind of stuffing things down and saying that things are okay, maybe when they're not. And then our generation's kind of that in between of sometimes we say stuff, sometimes we still stuff it. And I think just really in my house, I'm really trying to work with my kids on talking about our feelings, talking about our emotions, talking about where we're at, even though sometimes it can be hard.
Yeah, it's definitely hard. And it's hard when we have those generational talks too, when grandma and grandpa get into the mix. Because you, like you said, they didn't talk about that. But I'm seeing, as I'm talking with my kids about it, I'm seeing that change in that generation above us, which I really like to see. And it's evolving and slow and giving that grace that they didn't have that education, that those words to be used. And so if they do start to incorporate it into their world, that's kind of nice. That's pretty awesome. It's kind of bonus, I say.
I agree. So if let's just say I'm a parent and I'm concerned about my child or I'm concerned about my significant other, and I'm one of those people we're talking about that maybe hasn't had a conversation around mental health or mental illness in my life, what would you recommend my first step be if I want to have a conversation, but I'm kind of scared, I don't know how, or I feel like I don't know how to do it, or I'm not equipped to do it?
Yes, the best way to support somebody with a mental illness is educating yourself. Find a book, find a reputable podcast, find a great website like NAMIMinnesota.org or anything with an EDU, you know, the Mayo Clinic, any of those types of reputable sites, and take a class from them or read a booklet or talk to somebody. If you're in an emergency situation or if you want to talk to somebody right now about that, we have this awesome number called 988, came out about a year and a half ago. The suicide prevention lifeline was revamped into short 988 so that we can remember that, just like 911. 988, you're going to get a mental health advocate on the other side. That you can ask them questions. You can ask them, what does this mean, or any of that. And they're going to walk through those things for you. It's also there if you're, you know, somebody's in a crisis or somebody's having a bad day and you don't know how to support them. You call that 988 and they're going to walk you through it. They'll tell you what to do next, when to call 911. They're going to help you assess that situation and how you can support them.
Mm-hmm.
So those are some great ways to start.
To start the conversation. And yep. I think even just to start to get yourself comfortable with the uncomfortable, right? I think that we just talked about that before the podcast started of sometimes life isn't going to be comfortable and you're going to have uncomfortable conversations with people or things that maybe you feel like you don't know how to do. But I think we're lucky in the sense, and I don't say this lightly because the internet has a lot of things in it, but we're lucky to have some information at our fingertips now in our generation that maybe we didn't have 20 years ago as well, to search something up quickly on Mayo's website or on your website, just to try to give us an understanding of kind of where we might be at or someone might be at that we love, where someone that we love might be at as well, which is a great place for us to start.
Yeah, definitely. I think too, with a little bit with the pandemic and everything that's come out with the pandemic, it's really put all of us in the shoes of maybe a family that has mental health challenges going on, that isolation, or that, you know, maybe they stay home because it's easier. Having that understanding of what they're going through, because we all had to go through COVID,
mm-hmm.
And we're coming out on the other side, great. But also a lot of mental health things are coming out. We're having those conversations. for me and my family, COVID was a great thing that happened. It gave me the time to be with my kids, experience their mental health challenges, learn a little bit more about myself, and move forward. And now we're starting to have those conversations, and it feels a little bit more normal, which I love. And so we're having conversations with everybody.
In your current job, or maybe even just looking back, I mean, I know you're a mom, but you're also a staff person at NAMI Minnesota. Looking back at all of the things that you do and the many hats that you wear, is there one piece of advice or one thing that you're most proud of as you've advocated either for yourself or a family member or in a job or in our schools that you feel that you really have accomplished in all that you do?
I am making an impact while making an income. And that has always been end game for me. And I'm finally here. Not how I expected to be, but here I am. And I'm learning every day as I'm teaching other people about everything. I'm learning more about myself and being really my authentic self, which is the most amazing thing to, you know, finally figure out after 40 years old. So I think it's a journey. It's a journey. The whole thing is a big journey, and it's going to continue to go and change and evolve. And I'm super proud of my kids and how their resilience through all of this. They've taught me so many things in all the things that we've done, and I've enjoyed being their mom.
And you're just a really great resource for community, and I'm sure all of the people that call you or attend your classes just to get to see the wonderful person you are and that you truly care. Like every person that works at NAMI Minnesota is just has their arms open, they're ready to support, they're ready to help, and really want all of us to be the best version of ourselves that we can be so that we can make sure to help those around us. Because if we don't feel like we're the best version of us, we're not able to fully support everyone around us as well. As we wrap up our podcast today, I know we'll get to see each other next month and on February 29th, but are there any other resources or takeaways that you would want to share with our listeners before we wrap up today?
Yeah, so we are offering what we call Super Saturday in Eagan. Okay. It's on February 10th. Our keynote speaker is talking about childhood grief. And then us NAMI educators are presenting on crisis planning, special education, QPR, question, persuade, refer in regards to suicide prevention. Some are in English and some are in Spanish. And so we're offering those throughout the day with some of them also being online. So if you guys want to join us for that, you can find that at namimn.org and sign up for that. Also, my team is very excited to announce with our children's team that we're having what we call lunchbox talks. It's 20 minutes of a NAMI educator presenting information on a certain subject and then 10 minutes of questions. We're trying to really do that quick lunch and learn, busy caretaker or parent. Again, those are two on our website under the scheduled classes. So check those out. Our first one is coping with kids, gives some developmental responses youth may have to stress, and 5 mental health tips for families in managing that stress.
Those are all really great things that you guys have coming up. And I think as parents or family members or community members, the more we know, maybe we're not experiencing some of those things today, but we know maybe in the future we may experience those, or maybe we are going through some really hard things where a lot of the things that you're offering will really support us and to help us to be better humans.
Yes.
So as we wrap up today, I look forward to seeing you next month, Beth. Thank you for sharing some of the wonderful things that you're doing at NAMI Minnesota. And I'm looking forward to hearing the amazing presentation that you have planned next month. And I hope that February 10th is a success for NAMI Minnesota. And I look forward to us continuing to work together throughout the times.
Thanks for having me.
Thank you for listening. This resource is produced as a partnership between the Anoka Hennepin Parent Engagement Program and Student Services Department. Be sure to check out additional episodes in the Parent Engage 360 podcast series. For more information or to share feedback, visit ahschools.us/parentengage360.